Good morning, God bless you. It's a real pleasure to be here. I was in Winnipeg in 2013 in this university when our first daughter graduated from this place. Then there was no fellowship, and we told her you have to find somewhere to to fellowship and to get life and give life. And then in 2017 I'm back here. Amen. And then since yesterday I've had a blast. Being here has taken me back to when I was on the campus in 1979.
That's right.
I don't know where some of you were at that time. to 1979, when I was a young firebrand, hot-headed medical student in the University of Port Harcourt. I had wanted to go to the University of Ife because then there was a young man, well, he was young man, we used to call him Pa Elton. You know, it was a missionary that God had sent to Nigeria. I think it was in the sometime in the 1940s, by a prophetic word, and he came and he completely changed the landscape of Christianity in Nigeria. Every known minister that you know or hear sat at his feet, including my humble self. It has been a privilege, working with him. But before I go on, let me ask my wife to come, a young damsel. a young damsel of Israel, in whom there is no guile. I've been married to her for 29 years now, today. Amen. It has been, I said it, that I would have been a complete disaster without her. It would have been a shipwreck by now. It would have been over. But she has been a blessing, a strength, and a woman of God. You see, I told you she's a woman of God. Amen. God has blessed us with four angels. It's five against one. We're five ministering to one. Four girls plus a senior girl ministering to one rascally young man whom God is working on to try to polish all the rough edges. I have a lot of rough edges, and God has been polishing it.
Amen.
Amen. I met her, when was it now, in somewhere, we got married in 1988, is it 88 or 89, I always get confused. The women, they know all the dates. I even forget my birthday. So after 3 days, that's what I remember. So that's how bad it is. Anyway, so we met you know, and you know, we've been. When I met her, I told her, I said, look, I have a vision, and it's my life. You know, then it was the ministry of Brother Elton that was motivating us. Not just me, Brother Ruben, Sam is part of it. All through the campuses in Nigeria, he had impacted on the young people with the vision of the body. We knew the body, we didn't know the denominations. He taught us that God is raising the body. God was raising an end-time army. And I only knew one language. My language was to be part of that end-time army. I didn't, you know. So I told her, I said, look, my life is this end-time army. I must be in it. You know, so there was no compromise. Before I met her, I had made so many shipwrecks. I had proposed to about seven young girls on campus. But I told her, I said, well, when I reach the last bus stop, you must make sure that, well, I had a covenant with God. I said, I cannot miss it in marriage.
Amen.
I'm down. So we're talking campus business now. So I said, I cannot miss it in marriage, because Brother Elton taught us that if you miss it in marriage, you're out. You're out. There's no, you cannot, you will spend the rest of your life repairing. You know. I'm sure Brasa will tell you, yeah, the sister is talking, her mouth is very strong, because she knows she didn't make a mistake. You see it now? Okay, very good. Okay, so you can see the effect. Adeboye, Idahosa, just mention all the names, you know. They all sat at Kumuyi, you know. So he taught us about denomination. So yes, I was talking about marriage. He said, if you miss it in marriage, you're out. So I said, God, I cannot miss it. I cannot. Yeah, if you want to kill me, let me die. I'm ready to die, but I cannot miss it. You know. So it was a covenant I had with God. So I was confident. I said, the day I print the card and I'm going down, that is it. You know. So I had. I was still learning to walk with the Lord. Not that we have matured, but we are still on the road. So when I met her, I told my friends, I started hearing bells. They said, can you be telling us you're hearing bells? I said, yes, I started hearing bells in my heart. At that particular time, I was distracted. I was thinking of marrying someone else. You know, and so when I met her, bells started ringing. I told my friend, I said, there's trouble. So bells are ringing. So well, my friend knew what that meant. So he said, well, we have to pray. I started praying. And then 29 years after, we're here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It has been a really glorious time. That was a he that finds a wife. Find the best thing. It's the best. Not just a good thing. Best. We have four fantastic young women of God, all of them in their own right. The first one got married last year. I told people, I said, look, I'm going to give a warning to Delta State and Edo State, because their young boys are running around my house. So the first one is from Edo State, and he will soon be here. You will know him, you will see him. You know, and the other one now has come from Delta State. You know, when he came to my house, he said, I found my missing rib in your house. I was very confident, very bold. I said, look, I'm looking at you. I said, who gave you this rib? Your lawyer, he said, our second daughter is, she's a doctor. She's, the first one, by the way, is in Grand Prairie. Up in Alberta, she, I think she's been here. Okay, you know her, Maka. Second one, it's, she's finished her house job. She's doing looping job in somewhere in Bayelsa State. So this young man says, look, and I told him, I said, what's your plan? He was even giving me date. He said, look, this is the date. He was so confident. I said, young man, okay, we will pray and hear what the Lord is saying. By the way, he happens to have been my friend. You know, he called me sometime in January. I said, where are you going to next mission? I said, I'm going to Sierra Leone. I said, I'm going to go with you. You know, he didn't know I knew his plans. So, he followed me, we're ministering together, and then he comes with this. The third one, you don't know. She graduated from Covenant University as an ICT engineer. Where is she now? She's doing youth service in Ibadan. And then the last one is at the last seat there. That she's here. So we're happy to be here with you. As I was telling you the story, sometime where we are on the campus with this, we have been infected with an incurable virus called Body of Christ Vision. You know, nothing could satisfy us. You know, we're all like, you know, when we go to church, it was so boring. So many of us ended up at home. You know, until one day God spoke and said, go and start a New Testament church. That was in 1986. So, January 1986, I said to my friend, I said, look, this is what God is saying. Say yes, he has heard too. I said, fine, so let's go. So we started, we went to one of the lecture halls on the campus. We had two senior friends. Both of them are late now. We went to them and said, look, this is what God is saying. We should start a New Testament church. No pastor, nothing, no organization, no program, nothing. We just come spirit from beginning to end. You know, we didn't know where we were going. We just knew that God said New Testament church. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, when you come together, you know it. Yes, one has the psalm, one has the song, one has the teaching, one has the doctrine, one has the revelation. And so on and so on. So that was our roadmap. So we came and we followed it. And since 1986 till now, how many years is it now? 31 years. We've been on that journey. No pastor, nothing, spirit from beginning to the end. Amen. And out of that experience, God has raised ministries of every type you as mentioned in scripture, and we've gone we have learned, we have grown, our families, children, grandchildren, I think, yes, and ministry in Nigeria, different parts of Africa, out of Africa, UK, London, the States, and beyond. Why am I saying all this? It's for your own benefit. Okay? So, those days were some of the best days for us. I remember before we started that, we used to have, every first Saturday, we used to call it Praying for the Nation. We had the garden. We used to call it the prayer garden. I would go there and shout all through the night. You know? So every first Saturday, everybody will go. We'll call it clap your hand meeting. That's what they used to call it. Clap your hand meeting. You know the song, clap your hand, oh yeah, people. So we used to call it clap your hand. So where are you going to clap your hand meeting? So we'll go and clap your hand all through the night. In those days, we used to say God was living in Unipod. We used to call it God's Unipod. And there was a big, mighty revival that was going on. I didn't regret going to Ife. Actually, I applied to go to Ife, as I said. My dad changed it and to invest in Port Harcourt because I was starting a new medical school. And my name was number one on the list. I said, who gave you the authority to change my name? I wanted to go to Ife because Paeton was there. But he changed it anyway. I ended up in Unipod, and it was the best experience I ever had. There was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God on campus. We had a blast. It was fantastic. I mean, it's, it was a time to express ourselves in God. Of course, that culminated into, you know, the fellowship where we have now. We started on campus. One day God said, out of the campus, into the town. I hear you guys are going somewhere. Where is it now? Okay, very good. Anyway, so God drove us out of campus and we are now in town to give that expression. We started as students and we're now living inside the town as a fellowship. Of course, there are elders and so on. When this has fallen, this is a book I wrote, actually a message that I gave somewhere in Kinshasa in 2011 or something. So someone said, put it down. So I came back and wrote it up as a book. It's Tabernacles, the Life Beyond Pentecost. As I was telling you, we were fed up as young people. I mean, we were born again, but you know, Holy Spirit, you give your tongue, you do all those things, we were bored, you know. And God began to show that there was something beyond the Pentecostal experience, you know. So the book deals with there are three main experiences as a believer, you know: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. We are very familiar with Passover, being born again. The church, historically, you know, there's a historical Jesus. That's for academics. You know, that's a different matter altogether. But historically, the church has come to Passover. We've done Passover. And by the way, somebody says October 17. October will be the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's declaration, of the just shall live by faith. So October is a very significant time. October is also something else. There was something that they said God happened in October. So I remember now. There was something else that happened in October. Anyway, the Jewish calendar. There are two types of Jewish calendar. There is the agricultural calendar that follows the planting season. Then there is the, well, for a big word, if you don't mind, there is what they call the ecclesiastical calendar. That is the calendar of the feasts. Okay, so there are three. All right. So sometimes when you read in the scriptures, you use it sometimes. If you mix it up if you are not used to those two programs. But you know, Israel is a pattern. God always works with patterns. That's God's lifestyle. God always works with a pattern. So Jesus is our pattern. By the way, there is another book I brought, Pattern. There are two copies here. So it's also available for you. We have problem load, carrying load, so we couldn't bring, but we can arrange to get more if you look at it. This was written by Brother Dusil, a Jamaican who became an American, passed on in 2009. That had a series of visitation from God, and specifically had this revelation, understanding of the tabernacle of Moses. So this is this. You see, it so happens that most of the things I do is based on the tabernacle. By the way, you will find out that the whole Bible is written based on the tabernacles. The book of Revelation is an extension of the book of Leviticus. So they're all priestly things dealing with the tabernacle. So I will talk about it in the next few minutes. But while we are still doing history. So you have these two things going, you know. So say there. So let's start with agricultural first, you know. So in Israel, I've been to Israel, 2010. So in Israel, there are three seasons, and you know God works by seasons. There are people who they run too much with it, but God has it. This is your season. There's something that God is doing in your life. You will never get here again. So this is a season, and there is something that God wants to do. So God works by season. That's one of the habits of God. He works by season. You know, first day he did so, second day he did this, third day he did this. So God is a good God of method. There is also a God, that method is by the Spirit. So how do you define method by the Spirit? It says, I forgot the scripture. I can't remember it now. Anyway, so on the seventh day, say God rested. All right, and so you know, so God has the seasons, and then the first season, you know, it's when they plant wheat, and in Israel, the rain starts coming, the rain starts falling. Early winter, well, maybe late winter, maybe December going into January. So that's when they plant the wheat. So the first harvest is harvest of wheat. Okay, and that's when Ruth, who had been in, what? Sorry, the first one is barley. Sorry, forgive me. First one is barley. Barley is the food, is the common food, is the food for the commoners. It's, if you are poor, that is, you eat barley, barley bread, barley loaf is lowest. That's because of our common salvation. I mean, being born again is common. Even if it is common, it's such a great thing, but it's common. You know, so that's the common experience in the church, barley harvest. And that's where you start with God. The first experience in God is barley. You know, that is, Ruth came out of Moab. Alright? You know, the word of God comes to you in levels and dimensions. Okay, just like you are in levels and dimensions. You have your body, that's one level, physical. Alright, in this room, you can touch this table, isn't it? That's physical, isn't it? But that's not all physical. Alright, there is liquid in that bottle, there is liquid, that's another dimension. Then you have air. Is that real? That's real. That's God, right? Good. So you are physical, but within you, it's a different level altogether. You have spirit, that's your soul, and your human spirit. That's a different dimension. So the word of God comes to us also in dimensions. There's a natural, I'm telling you history, isn't it? The story. In Israel, they learn history. The history they learn, the Old Testament. That's their history book. You understand? So the word of God can be history, but even that history, so there's so much life and blessing in it. But the natural speaks to the spirit. Because the Bible says it is first natural, thereafter spirit. You understand? So you start from the natural, your destination is in the spirit. So someone say, has it that having started in the spirit, you want to go down? You know, so every word has a natural expression. You know, Abraham is a friend of God. He is the father of nations. But Abraham has a spiritual application. Okay, Abraham had the seed. God gave him a promise, and that seed is speaking of something in the spirit. So the word of God is natural. So we see in a natural level a barley harvest. Ruth came out of Moab. Moab is a type of the world. Moab is a type of Egypt. Alright? So he came back to Israel at the time of the barley harvest. It's significant. The next harvest you find is the wheat, which you have somewhere March, April. It coincides with the much later thing they call Easter, you know, Ishtar, the worship of the Ishtar god. That's a different thing. All right, so that is the second experience, wheat. All right, and that is it was the second feast, agricultural experience, harvest, you know, of the wheat. And then the last one, which is the big thing, was the harvest of fruits. Okay, and they start harvesting the fruit. It comes with the summer, with the sun, because the sun helps the fruit to ripen. The first rain falls at the end of the year, That's the rain that brings you into the first harvest. So they call it the former rain. So when do you think the later rain will come? The later rain is for the real thing, isn't it? Is the rain that comes to help the fruit to ripen. Alright, so you find it the later rain. And usually, the later rain, well, Jesus says he's going to give you the former rain and the later rain, when? In the first month. So that takes you, that first month is the ecclesiastical calendar, no longer the natural, no longer the agricultural one. Okay, so the first month was, you find it somewhere around November, because in the ecclesiastical calendar there are 7 months, which begins from, they call it Abib. All right, Abib was when they came out of Egypt. You know, says that this shall be the month Abib. It means beginning. All right, so that's the first one. So the first feast was in Abib. All right, that's Passover, beginning with God. So everybody in this room must have an Abib. Do you have an Abib? Not your fathers are coming to say how the fellowship, but you have your beginning in God. Amen. So that's Abib. Well, Abib is not the end of the journey, but it so happens that in the greater church today, when once somebody is born again, they say he has a passport to heaven. How can a man in heaven be going to heaven? Anyway, so the first month begins with the Passover. After the Passover, the next major feast, you say you count 50 days. Alright? And then that is Passover. So when Jesus ascended, he told them, wait. Because they knew. Because you see, in Israel, if you go to Israel, at the beginning, there are two feasts. Everybody, even now, they all go, everybody is trooping to Israel. So when they go, because the next feast is 50 days, many of them do not return. They hang around, they wait for the next one. So all those who had come for the Passover, they are still around. So he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, do you understand? They were all together. It so happened that Jesus was also the Passover lamb. You see how everything is lining up? So he was also the Passover lamb who had given himself, was the perfect sacrifice and offering. Alright? So, yeah, Passover actually technically has three parts. There are three parts of Passover. The real day of Passover itself, okay, and then followed by 7 days, they call it Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's when you don't, you know, just like you are fasting, you know, so no leaven. Alright, which is prophetic. Alright, 7 days. Then at the end of the 7 day, there's another tenth feast, call it a sheaf of first fruits. Okay, so that's what makes up Passover. Alright, so Jesus himself was the Passover. And if you check the history, on the day when he was, when he gave up himself as an offering, was a Passover day. Alright? It's even more complicated, because it says after every 49 years, that is 7-7, that is, you get the mathematics, 7-7, the next year, just like now, this is our 29 years, today I say, God, today I've entered 30 years. It's a prophetic, you know, that's a prophetic marriage now, so sister, get ready. We are entering, you know, that is the year for fullness, it's maturity, isn't it? So that's a different thing. Anyway, so it was, so the 49th, at the end of, you enter into the 50th, and say that 50th year is the year of Jubilee. Amen. So they have counted it. I actually have a book where somebody has counted from day one of Adam. Yes. One Oxford professor, he has it all written down. I have a book. You know. So he has counted it from the beginning of creation to today. They have it all counted. You know, even historically, you go to your museum, you will see it. You see the day Nebuchadnezzar came to Israel. 586 BC. It's historical. So you're not playing games. Everything is documented. There's a man called Josephus. You should read him.
Yes, sir.
Josephus has it all documented, you know. So if you believe Julius Caesar, Caesar. I like Roman history. Caesar. You believe Caesar, but you don't believe Jesus. You're in trouble. Amen. So I'm not following cunningly devised fables. So that day also was a Passover day, was a Jubilee day. So they called it it was a high day, because there were many feasts that were falling together at the same time. So it was a high day. So by the way, Jesus never died on Friday. It was somewhere around, had to be Wednesday, Thursday kind of thing. It was the third day, Sunday morning. All that is calculated. Anyway, so he was a Passover. So the next feast was 50 days from that time. And he was taken. So he told them, wait in Jerusalem until... It's just that this past Pentecost was going to be a different Pentecost. Because it says that when I go, I will send the gift of the Father. Okay, which was the experience of Passover. Just like, I don't even know where I'm going to be. I believe the Spirit of God is leading us. You know, so the thing is, the experience of Passover today and Pentecost also today has been lost to the church. This, you know, is just jamboree, you know, supermarket. You know, we've actually gone to Kenya where they tell you, in the church, they build swimming pool with different depths. So it's up to you. If you bring $10,000, they take you to a special place for blessing. So your blessing is according to how much money you can give. Then when you go there, that's where they will lay hands and bless you. We've gone to Liberia where they bring rice, they anoint the rice, anoint plantain, anoint all those things. So it's how much money you get depends, how much anointing or blessing you get depends on how much money you can get. The other worst versions, I don't want to get into that. You know, so the church has gone. But you see, you don't make the error the normal. Amen. You say because it is wrong, then you won't do what is right. So there is Passover. That's a true beginning with God. Amen.
Amen.
And then there is true Pentecost, which we will talk about in the. I hope I can get there. Okay. So we have the Passover, we have the Pentecost. So Pentecost is the fourth one. So it's the fourth day. Amen. So God created 7 days, isn't it? So Pentecost is. Somebody was praying yesterday, he said, the moon and the sun. He said, give the moon to rule the night and the sun to rule the day. Uh-huh. All those are prophetic. Alright? And then the 5, 6, 7, that's the action. That's really where we are going to. So, Pentecost is historical. On the day of Pentecost. But it was just like Passover was also historical when Jesus died. You understand? Those two have been replayed 1517, isn't it? Martin Luther went and put that in there. So that was for us a recreation of Passover. He said, protesting, though, that protesting. I hear that they have now repented from protesting. You know? I hear they are going back. They are, the departed brethren are coming back. All right. Uh-huh. So, which is a different thing. You know, but you can research on it. So that was it. Then we also have a recreation, a reenactment of what? Pentecost. You've heard of Azusa Street. All right. Most of the, would I not say, all foundational Pentecostal churches have their history from Assemblies of God, Foursquare, United, this is the Apostolic Church. You know, those are the mainstream that came out of Azusa Street, and they began to go around the world. Okay, so all came from Azusa Street. So we have the first one, we have the second one, nothing new. So if you're in this room and you have first and two, praise God for you. But nothing new. Amen. What is new is the third one. Amen. And that is why some of us are alive. We must be in that third one. And that third one is the Feast of Tabernacles. By the way, as a student, I saw a book. I don't have it here. A book written in 1951 by a man called George Warnock, The Feast of Tabernacles. You can find it up in the, if you go online, you can see it. It's there. Pardon? It's Canadian. It's from Calgary, actually. Is it BC?
It's from Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Good, yes. Okay, good.
Actually, it's in BC.
Good. So, by the way, so there was a 1948 North Battleford revival here in Canada, which you can research. No, where is North Battleford? North Battleford. There's a city called North Battleford.
Yes, yes.
Check it. There was a revival. After Azusa Street, the next touchdown was 1948.
Saskatchewan.
It's in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. This guy, this chap, George Warnock, was part of that. They were all. In fact, I have a feeling. In fact, after that, they had that what they call the Later Rain movement. It came from, a lot of it had to do with Canada, and the full gospel, if I'm not mistaken, took a lot of its inspiration from that Later Rain thing that happened here. You know, so it's coming together. Someone said there yet remains a rest for the people of God. You know, so there is something remaining, and that something remaining is tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, which technically has three parts: blowing of trumpets, which is what this book is trying to do, to say let us go beyond Pentecost. By the way, this is free of charge, and it's online. I will put up the website so you can read this. All this is online. This is online, and a few other books. You know, so a lot of people began to blow that trumpet that there was another experience beyond being born again, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, beyond the Pentecostal experience. When I got born again, I touched on that movement. Okay, that was blowing the trumpet to say there is something beyond Pentecost. Before that, we had our own expressions, you know, as I've shared. I remember seeing a brother, he just passed. Garrison Moore's father, Clayton Moore. The book, Show the House to the House. You can write down the titles, you can check it up online. Show the House to the House. As young people, these are things you must. It's a must for you. You must know your father's house. You must know the pedigree of your father's house. So these are things you know. As young men, we knew God was calling us into the ministry. So while others were, my classmates would go and buy cars, buy so. So I would head to the library, bookshop, and clear out the books there. You know, because I had to equip myself. That would say, show yourself. You know, is it to be approved? Show yourself approved as a workman, isn't it? A lot of people began to blow that trumpet about something. Even William Branham, he was among those who was speaking of a glory coming. You know, so many have spoken of the glory coming. But I want to tell you this morning that the glory is here now.
Yeah.
You know, we are in 2017, into the midnight. I can tell you emphatically that we are in the midnight. Not the midnight, because midnight is a period of time. It's not 1 minute. It's a minute. No. That's not how God does his own timing. Midnight is a period of time, a series of events. So people have their own midnight earlier than others. You understand? If cancer comes on you and knocks on your door, it means your midnight is a little bit earlier than others. So you run into a storm. Okay, but you know, but that's by design. So historically, as a people in the world, darkness is descending. You know, have you been on the plane before? You see how the plane is descending. You know, you go to the airport and just look around, and you see the lineup. If you come to a busy airport, you see them after five minutes. You see them they line up, and they're coming from different heights. From very far, you see them like a speck. It's coming, become clearer and clearer and clearer. You know, a speck. Somebody saw the spark. It's a speck. Who is that? Elijah. Say, I see something like the hand of a man. See a cloud of rain coming. So I, as a person, in 2011, well, I'm a little bit different. I can only tell you I had a visitation. That's all I can say. I didn't see any light or something, but I knew something happened. God came to me very clearly. I began to speak about this Elijah, this rain that we're talking of. You know, so, and, you know, said, some things. But that's just by the side. So the thing is, when you see the plane is coming, it's descending, you know, and it is a controlled landing. You cannot hurry it. Amen. It's a controlled landing. And I'm telling you that darkness is coming and it will touch. There'll be a landfall sometime. It won't be a landfall, it will be soul fall, because the darkness is going to land in the soul. It will show on the earth. I hope you understand. The scripture says in Isaiah 61, says, arise. Is this 60 or 61? Is this 61 or? Okay, good. So it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. That's one stream of the road. So as the darkness is landing, something is also about to land. Guess what? The glory of God is about to also make a soul fall. Hallelujah. Like I was saying, you decide which one you are going to experience. That's the darkness coming fully in your soul, or light coming fully. Amen. So say, behold the darkness. The glory. Then say, behold the darkness shall cover the earth. And to make sure we don't miss it, or make any mistake, others say, and gross darkness. Who? The people. Darkness is coming on the people. When you say the people, it doesn't make any meaning. You're looking for souls. Amen. So both the darkness and the light, they are looking for souls. Must manifest in the soul. So the soul is a theater, if you want. It's a screen or PC or whatever you want, however you want to understand it. That is going to showcase, show forth, bring forth. You know, the soul is a womb. The soul is Mary. Amen. So you see the dimension. You see, you have a woman. Alright? In the spirit, you have another woman also. So you say the church is a woman, isn't it? But that's too general. You have to bring it down. The fullness of the spirit. Christ wants to marry the soul. And the Antichrist also wants to marry. The devil also says, I will. Have you read Isaiah 14 before? Say, I will arise. And I will sit upon the stars. I will be like the Most High. Do you understand that English? Thessalonians says, he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself as God, receiving worship as God. Don't you understand? That's the grammar. That's what's going on. Amen. So there are two roads, and they lead. You say, the highway to your city runs through my heart. Do you know the scripture? Isaiah 40, is it Psalm 84? Say, the highway to your city runs through my heart. Amen. But there's another highway also. That's the highway of the evil man. It's also wanting to run through your head. So you decide which one that will run. Two of them can't run, though. It has to be all or nothing. It's either one or the other. Can't serve God or mammon. You know, there's a man, his name is, what's that his name now? Cliff Richards. No, not Cliff Richards. It's the other one, the American. What's the name of that? That said, you've got to serve somebody. Bob Dylan, yes. Bob Dylan is one of the craziest. You know, he won almost everything that's been won. He said, you've got to serve somebody. You may be a teacher. You may be a head of state. You may be a lawyer. You may be a barber. Whoever you are, you must serve somebody. All right. So whatever you are, you must have a God. The soul must have a God. The soul must worship something. Like he was saying, they behold his face. What do? You are transformed from glory to glory. If you behold the face of the dragon, what do? You also... Man is changed by what you see. The soul is an image worshiper. We read the Isaiah 44:5, isn't it? Good. That is classic. It's talking about the soul. This soul here is a house of images. It's a temple of images. And you talk about the modern image. You know, you look on your iPad, you're looking at different pictures, Instagram and Insta, all those things, or Twitter. You are entering high level occultism and sorcery, manipulation. Don't you understand? You know? I was still talking about this feast. You know, so there is a high activity in the spirit. There is an excitement in the spirit because everything is coming to an end now. Amen. Because at the fullness of time, the bridegroom must come and take his wife. That is the most exciting thing. It's when the bridegroom must take his wife. And in the spirit, there are two bridegrooms. And there's one candidate. So, you know, that soul can go into light or into darkness. So, there are two major, two major spiritual kingdoms, activity, endpoints, light and darkness. Is there a question of whether you're going to heaven or not? Heaven is in you. The only way God can dwell in you is that there is heaven in you. Don't you understand? Amen. It says that the kingdom of God is coming where? Within you. Hallelujah. Anyway, so for a long time, we as a people of God, we are being like Sadducees, but we are being converted. You know, Sadducees say there are no spirits, no heaven, everything is material. Yeah, material world. But why the devil is telling you that? He is attacking you in the spirit. Great deception. Amen. So, what that means is that I define myself by my body. If I ask you, who are you now? You only know your body. Well, let me not say you. I, for a long time, I'm beginning to change now. You know, I define myself by my body. What high I look like, high I walk. And I hope you know, your mind has two realms. There is a conscious mind, conscious emotion, conscious desire, conscious will. There is a conscious realm that the soul operates. But the soul is a spirit man. It's a spiritual reality. Don't you understand? Amen. The greater part of the soul is a spiritual thing. When you sleep, what's going on? Your soul is not existing again. Is that so? Yes. When you are asleep, it's even when you are more spiritually active. So the soul is a creation of God that has a dual reality, a conscious earthly reality, and a spiritual reality. Amen. That's why it's beautiful. Amen. You know, and God gave your soul the spirit so that you can hear the voice of God, so that you can relate with the heavens, and gave your soul the body so that your body can live on the earth, so your soul can live on the earth. Amen. So when you eat food, the food gets into the body, but the real beneficiary of the food, physical food, is the soul, is your mind. You know, in medicine, there's a young man called Pavlov. He did the experiment and he showed the connection. Then I say there are not too many medical people around here, you know, but those who are in it, okay, peace is nothing. She knows about it, Pavlov, you know. He showed the connection between the desire, the thought of food, and the brain, the connection. Alright? So he's showing the connection between the mind and the body. Because the mind and the body connect, all right, and the spirit, the soul and the spirit also connect. Amen. So some of these rascal Eastern religions, they are playing on that connection between the body and the mind. They tell you, bring your hand, they will show you this is the connection. You know, they show the body and the hand. Nothing new. It's there in the Bible. Amen. Everything you want is in the scriptures. You know, so we're talking about this great, great experience called tabernacles. You know, God sent to them in Exodus 25. He said, build me a sanctuary. When you build a sanctuary, it's only for one purpose. What is it for? That I may dwell. The greatest desire of the heavens is to dwell in the sanctuary. And if your Christianity does not speak to it, God can be a supermarket too. I hope you know. You don't have a job, he'll give you a job. You want a wife, he'll give you one. What do you want? A car, he'll give you. What do you want? You want to be a Canadian citizen? Take. What do you want? You want to be a great career, you succeed in your career in Canada. Fine, you have it. Anything you want, you can take. If that's what you want, fine, God can give it to you. But you are not God's candidate. Yes. Anything you want. You want to be the most popular somebody. That's what you want. You want to do with your life. Fine, you can have it. Because whosoever will, you drive it by your choice, by your decision. Amen. So say, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell. Right. God's sanctuary is the soul, is a man, is the greatest love story of all time. Amen. And he gave his son for that purpose. Hallelujah. It's the greatest. If you don't know, the greatest love story starts from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and ends in Revelation 21, is it 22? 22 verse 18 or something. That's the story, the great story of God's quest to inhabit himself in man, to tabernacle. Hallelujah. You know? Now, Jesus comes along, John chapter 2, with another earth-shaking revelation. I mean, nobody had said it before, as he did. What was happening? He was walking around the temple. I walked around those temples. I actually went there twice when I went to Israel. You know, he went there. They started showing him. Of course, one of the wonders of the world. But you know what happened? He said, look, not one stone will remain that will not be broken down. And you know, when God speaks a word, it is historical, it is mathematical. By the way, this Bible has been calculated as a mathematical document. I hope you know. Somebody, a non-Christian, calculated it. Every word there has a mathematical value, which is prophetic. That's what they say. Anyway, so now, a Roman general by the name Titus son of Vespasian. Alright, I had a Roman general. Vespasian was the Roman general in charge of Israel, Galilee, as it were. Of course, he said, you know, something happened in Rome. They said, the Caesar then had died. And you know, when the Caesars die, they contest among the generals, contest. Whoever becomes the conqueror, you know, takes over. So Vespasian left his son Titus, went to Rome. So that's how Vespasian became Caesar. But his son Titus remained in Galilee, in Israel. And if you know the Romans, the Roman war machine, there is no greater, America is trying, they are just trying to get up to it. There is no greater military genius than the Roman war machine. And because there was gold in the blocks, in fact, gold was, in they built the house with gold. You know what they did? They sat down and melted it. Every block for block, melted all the gold. So they broke all, so as Jesus said, there was not one stone. They melted it down and took the gold away. Amen. And not just that, they put salt, they salted the land. That is, you know, when they conquer you, destroy you, then they put salt in it. That means that land will never, it's the end. You become desolate. Now, God had to allow them to do it. Because just like tribulation is coming today, I hope you know tribulation is coming to Canada. Yeah, he ran away from somewhere, I think. It's coming. It's coming. Yes. It's coming. Everywhere. And it's come for people because God is driving us from somewhere to another place. Anyway, so what was I talking about? I was talking about the expression. Yes. Yeah. So he came and he melted the whole thing. Yes, I get my thought back. Because that temple, that one of Solomon, was the second, was the second one, because Solomon built the first one. Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed it completely, raised it to the ground. You know the story of the 70 years. Then somebody, all the prophets, Haggai, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on, began to prophesy. And you know the story, the exodus out of Babylon. Alright? And they went back and then built the temple. That was the story of Nehemiah and Ezra. Now, this politician called Herod comes. He was not Jewish. He was an Edomian. He was from the tribe. He was somewhere from Esau. All right. He became a politician because he wanted to get the favor of the Jews. What did he do? He went and beautified the temple. 46 years in building. That's how long it took to build. Can you imagine a house for 46 years? But by the way, God has been building this for 6,000 years. And I'm part of that building. So I've been created in Christ Jesus. Anyway, so this guy came and for 46 years built magnificent gold everywhere. Hallelujah. So they are taking Jesus around the place. They say, "This, have you seen our national temple? People have national things, isn't it? When people come, you take them and say, let's go and show them our national monuments. You know. So they are telling, I say, look, not one stone that will stand. By the way, so that second temple was completely raised down. AD 70. Go and check it. Roman general Titus. Go and check it. So there's no, everything is documented, it's out in the open. But that's not where we're going to. In AD 622 or 612, somewhere around there, there's a Muslim general. Guess what he did? He captured Jerusalem. How would God allow Jerusalem to be captured? Yeah. Yes, he had to, because of you and me. He captured it. Guess what they did? He went to that piece of land. That piece of land is the land of Onan, isn't it? Eh? It's a piece of ground of Onan. Remember, an angel came there. You know all the things that happened there. And it was that same spot, too, that, who was it? Is it Isaac and Abraham? Uh-huh. Okay. By the way, it was in Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. So they went there, and he captured it. He said, I'm going to build the mosque of Omar. So if you go to Jerusalem, you see a beautiful dome. A mosque of Omar is on that site. There was one Jewish man, he's a very strong man, we call him strong man, Ariel Sharon. You know what he did? He said he was going to go to that mosque of Omar and destroy it or something. They knocked him out. Stroke. He didn't wake up until he died. What am I saying? So, that temple has been sealed. God has put it aside. The day anybody goes there, that is, as you are touching it, the Third World War will start immediately. That anybody that will go there, say, we're going to build another temple. That is it. It's going to, that will be, in fact, that war will never end. So what is God saying to us? That's not the third temple. Are you following my thought? That's not the third. So there's another third temple. Who is that third temple? Amen. Okay, but if you meet an informed Jew, they will tell you that Israel is the third temple. Because they know what it means. You know, because God built the first one, the second one, and the first and the second were built according to the pattern. That's according to the pattern of the tabernacle of Moses. Amen. So you look at Isaiah 48, what does it say? Say, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In the temple, you know, beautiful is it on Mount Zion. The beauty, the city of the great God. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews that you have come to Mount Zion. Which other Zion is he talking of now? So Zion is not a geographical place. It's a place in the spirit. In fact, someone says, I create Zion, I create Jerusalem, a people. So where are we all going to? So we are saying that your vision must be clear. God is not calling you to be one pastor somewhere. You go and drive an aeroplane and people carry a bag and you do all those things. It's been done. That is nothing new. The only thing new is this third temple. Amen. So Jesus stood there and says, he said, he shouted and he said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he said, he spoke of the temple of his body. How can you say such a thing? So what was he saying? He was saying that the temple is not this building. Cannot be any building. Say, what building are you going to build for me? Amen. So Jesus was the first person that made that declaration, says that he was the temple. So let us search and see if it is really true. You run down the line. The next person you meet is Paul, isn't it? What does Paul say? He says, know ye not. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Amen. So he says, don't you know you are the dwelling of the Holy Ghost? And then you go down to Ephesians, what does it say there? That you have been built up a spiritual house, a habitation of God. And to make sure we settle it properly, even Peter says that we are being built up, we are lively stones, built up as a house of God. So all the great, all the leading lights, Jesus said it, Paul said it, Peter said it, and it's everywhere in the Bible. Amen. That man is the dwelling place of God. And let me share with you one of my greatest scriptures in the Bible, Psalm 132, verse 12. You know, so let's read that one. Psalm 132, verse 12. If anybody had any doubt, if I had any doubt, I couldn't argue with this one. Verse 13. Say, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He had desired it for what? His habitation. Read verse 14. This is my rest for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Do you understand? Forever. Say, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. If I had any doubt, this one settled it for me. And it changed my apostolic vision. Let me tell you something. Apart from the issue of marriage, this one is the next thing. If your apostolic vision is wrong, you never hit the mark. There's an apostolic vision that is ministry. You are born again, baptized Holy Ghost, you get married, you have children, you are in a fellowship, and you are working for the Lord. Yes, and it's good. You do great things for God. But there's nothing new. The real one is what we're talking about. Psalm 132. 13, 14. That is the ultimate apostolic vision. Apostolic vision is a direction an individual or the ministry is following. That is overriding direction. Amen. So, I don't know for you, but mine is very clear. God is looking for a dwelling place. And I have raised my hand. I said, I must be in that generation. So who will declare his generation? I said, I must be in that generation. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, I desire Zion. I must be in Zion. I must be a Zionite. Not just as an idea, but as an experience. And as a reality. Amen. So, Zion is the dwelling place of God. Galatians says, Jerusalem, that is with us, in Saudi Arabia, is under siege even today. There is something they call the Intifada. Have you heard of it before? Intifada, the uprising. You know, a great, you know, so Jerusalem is the besieged city. They say Jerusalem above is what? Free. And is the mother of us all. I speak to that, Jerusalem. Amen. Someone say, let us go up to Zion. The city of God. He said his foundation is where? In the holy mountains. He said, all my springs are in thee, O Lord. Amen. So, Zion. The people of God is God's greatest asset. And let's hear Jesus again. What does he say? He said, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world? What a statement. Do you know what is all the world? Do you know someone who said that? He did not look into Jesus. He said, come, you Jesus, come to. Say, I will give you all the world. You bow down. I worship. But you know the same statement he's making to us. Give me your soul. What do you want? You want to be a great you want to be a great soul and so. Is that what you want? You can have it. Just give me your soul. So the whole world The whole experience put together, quantified, side by side with one soul, doesn't match. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So that will give you the depth of the value of the soul. So say, for God so loved the world. That word is, you know, the English language is really very low in terms of weight and carriage. They say God loved this. When you say word, means the congregation of the souls in all time, in past, present, future. Bring it together. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever have eternal life. Hallelujah. So in God's economy, the value of the soul cannot be measured. That is your value. I don't need any motivational speaker to motivate me. I hope there's nobody here who is motivational in anything. Yeah? One proverb a day is your motivation. That 31. I read it. One a day. 5 psalms a day to add on top. Amen. At the end of the year, month, you have cleared psalms, you have cleared proverbs, and you are still counting. Because a man shall not live by bread alone. So bread is for the body. And the body is going down. But my body is not going down, but it's just that the body is going, but not this one. Because the body is given to as a minister to my soul. It must do the job. The body will not rule my soul. My soul must rule the body. That is the new generation of men coming on the earth. Don't you understand? There's a new man coming. Don't you want to be alive to see it? The one that CNN is describing and promoting is the first Adam. Is going into extinction. Don't you understand? There is a protos Adam, the first Adam. If there is prototype, don't you understand? There must be an eschatos, an end Adam. That is all I'm interested in. I want to be in the end Adam. So the end Adam came. Jesus is the proto of that end Adam. Amen. There are two men on earth. The first Adam is going to extinction. Yeah? His age is decreasing. Every year is decreasing. From 996 down. I hear some people are very happy that their expectancy is 80 years. They say we are first world. Can you imagine? From 900 down to 880, they say we are first world. We have something. Hallelujah. There's another Adam coming. So he is he that was and is and is to come. Amen. That is all I'm interested in. Amen. That's a new man. Amen. Since I give up myself, after 3 days I take it up again. Hallelujah. So if the spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that raised him from the dead is in you, say that same spirit do what will quicken a mortal body. That word body is the soul, the soma. It's soma. When the Greeks say soma, they mean body. That body essentially is the soul, but the spirit and the body also part of it. Because man is soul. The soul that sinned. Amen. The Greek says nephesh. Sorry, the Greek says suk. Suk. Suki. Eh? Psyche. That's where psychology comes from. Amen. They teach us that in medical school, psych. Suki. Amen. The Hebrew uses two words for spirit. Chaya and nefesh. So nefesh is specific for soul, but you can also use it for spirit in some cases. You know, and of course it uses spirit. Amen. So the scripture says, the soul that sinned shall die. Therefore, So he has given blood. It says, Leviticus says, blood is given to do what? To make atonement. For what?
For the soul.
Amen. Hallelujah. When the soul dies, soul dies means the body is too weak now. The spirit has tried and tried, is tired. So God, this is over. So the spirit goes back to God and made it. The body says, okay, I meet God, I tell him all the things you have been doing. Me, I'm going down. So the body goes to the ground. The spirit goes back to God. I say, oh yeah, you take a big man, yeah, go and meet God. So he said the soul is appointed unto judgment. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, judgment. So every soul. But you can be judged before the time. You know what we say, judge yourself, is it not? So in the tabernacle, there's a place where the soul is judged. It's called the brazen altar. That is the first experience. So the soul has four corners. So the altar has four corners. Don't you understand? Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So the beginning experience of man is judgment, brass. You must come to brass. I must come to brass. My soul must come to brass. Amen. Because this thing must come home. So the burden that God is giving is for this great temple. The physical tabernacle is only a prophecy to the real tabernacle that God made. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're still talking about this great feast, the last feast. And when you go to John, Pilate will tell us that John is the biggest, is the greatest book. He tells us he spent months and years just reading, hanging around John. It's so deep. Alright? John chapter 1 verse 1. What does it say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Is it where it stops? No. Say the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And did what? Dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as only begotten Son. Full of grace and truth. We're speaking of a reality. Amen. So Jesus walked. Jesus was a man. They say he was not a man. He's not a man. He was a man. Was a man. They went to him. Amen. Say never man spoke like this man. You know, he didn't say never God spoke like this man. Carpenter's son, you, the right day you are repairing chair for me. He said, now you are God. Say, had the devil. They had the devil. They say God was a man. Reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. But there's a greater picture. Jesus was the 41st generation. Have you come down that road? Go and count it. Jesus was the 41st. There is a 42nd generation. Who is that? The 42nd generation is the 41st joined to the 42nd. That's the trick. Yeah. Say Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. So the 41st and the 42nd are going to join. Christ and the body are going to join. So Christ is revealing himself, he's marrying, he's tabernacling himself so that he can express himself. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the extra. That's what the devil doesn't understand. He said, kill him. Let's kill him. They didn't know that they were forging God's plan. They killed him. And then the blood. See, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. So, the energy of heaven. The Bible says, the bread of God is he that comes down from heaven. Do you understand? When he says healing is the children's bread, not that it's bread, there's an energy, there is a strength, there is a power, there is a life that was emptied onto the world that you can touch by faith. Amen. So you say we are healed by his strength, not just physically, but emotionally. You know, some of us need to be healed. I need to be healed emotionally. Because sometimes I have the identity crisis. I don't know who I really want to be. Some people here hope want to be like a great football star, music star, scientist. This want to be a Nigerian, want to be a Canadian, want to be a Zionite, want to be this. You know, so emotionally we are wounded. So they say by his stripes we are healed. There's enough energy to heal our bodies, to heal our soul, and to revive our spirit. Amen. You know, so the greatest experience, what the church should be looking for, what you should be looking for, is to come to Tabernacles, that last feast. Anyway, I was going to John chapter 1. Down the road, Jesus kept the feast. He went to Passover. He went to Tabernacles. And if you come to John chapter 7, it says, on that great day of the feast, that great day, speaking about Tabernacles, says Jesus stood in the temple and cried. He said, out of the belly of him that believeth, will do what? Will flow rivers. So rivers means it's not just water. It's piece of the flow of the spirit. There's an energy of the spirit. In this room, there's a flow amongst you, amongst us, in the spirit. There's an energy. There is a life that flows, that makes us one. Amen. Amen. So when we are gathered, Christ is here physically now. Amen. Amen. That Christ is in me also. And that Christ is in you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have the Christ himself. Amen. There is a Christ in me. And then there is a Christ in you. And the deep calls unto deep. Amen. So I don't need a badge to tell you who I am. The Christ in you will witness. Amen. Watch your brother. So it is the ministry where it says the sounding of the waters, where there is a ministry that is flowing. Paul says that we don't need any letter of introduction, because the Spirit of God is doing what? Witness it. Hallelujah. So that the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. So spirit talks to spirit. Are you in that kind of, are you level in that level of fellowship? There are also other spirits that also talk. If you are spiritual, when you rise in the spirit, you begin to touch those spirits. Like your brother said yesterday, you come into Calgary, into Winnipeg, you start running around. You don't know there are gatekeepers. There are spirits that watch over the city. They say there's one last guy that came from Port Harcourt. They say, where is he? So let's just go and shake him small. They visit you in the night with headache. They visit you and show you one or two things. So let's see what he's going to do. They get your one rascal man to say, look, you are looking to pass this course. Let us see you and your Jesus. And he said, hey, I show you racism. Which racism? Racism. Which racism is it? Let me say, racism against flesh and blood. Against principalities. They are checking you out. There are spirits that rule over the city. Have you touched them? Have you shaken them? He said, yeah, fellowship. Fellowship we are. A fellowship is a city of refuge. That what makes it a fellowship, city of refuge. You know the city of refuge, say the high priest is there. Is the high priest here? Everything is there. Yes. Okay, no problem. So before you run too much into that place you are going to, where is that place people are going to? Is it the city square? Is that where you are going to? You must converse with those gatekeepers. You have to converse with them. You know Jesus went there. He did that. He went into the wilderness 40 days down the road. Somebody came to knock on the door. He said, yes. And the devil came to him to tempt him. Amen. So there are principalities, spirits that rule. The devil has divided the whole place and said, look, you know, so there are different realms, the cities, national divisions. Amen. And as you rise in the spirit, you begin to encounter them, you begin to touch them. Daniel did that. Is that true? When he began to inquire about the 70 years, he jammed one of them. He said, I'm the prince of Persia. Where do you think you're going to? Amen. And he began to contend. You know, oh God sent help to him. Amen. Hallelujah. God will send help to you.
Amen.
If you mean business. Amen. So fellowship is not just fellowship. God is raising cities of refuge. In the body. Hallelujah. And he himself is there. I said, as long as the high priest is in that city, the avenger of blood can't come in.
Amen.
That's the security you have to hide, to get the presence of God. Amen. So when you get the presence of God, that's the standard. That's not where God wants to do. He wants to be in you. Don't you understand? He wants to be that high priest dwelling in the city of God. Who is the city of God? You are the city. So what makes you a city is that the high priest is ruling. It's not to sing about the high priest, but it's to know the high priest and to bow the knee. Amen. When you meet the high priest, you can only do one thing, you bow the knee. I see the Lord. John saw, he said, I turned. It's not so. He heard the voice, he turned. Have you heard the voice? In your life, have you really heard the voice? Because when you hear a voice, there's only one response. You turn to behold the voice that is speaking to you. Moses saw a burning bush. What did he do? Say, I will slow down that I may behold. Have you slowed down? So let us look at this great sight. Amen. You know. So when you see the Lord, say it was as one slain. I had no strength. You know, I'm still very strong. You know, where we are, where God has touched us, there's only one place to be on the ground, flat. Yeah, that is, my life is flattened by God, submitted to Christ. Amen. May God bring us there.
Amen.
You know, where we see a vision of Christ, and that vision becomes overriding. Someone said overarching vision. That means it's an all and all vision. That is, in our life, wherever we go, it's Christ in all and in all, through all, for all, unto all. Amen. That's, everything is for Christ. Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is what? Again. Say, I am crucified for Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live, I live by the vision of the Son of God. Amen. Christ has not benefited you and benefited me if it's not in my soul. Amen. So Christ in you is the hope of glory. But hope is not reality. You get the point? So Christ coming into your soul is just the beginning. That is Passover. That's another level. You come into Passover so that, that you now enter into it. Amen. So Bible says that the spirit of Christ is the spirit of adoption. That's another level. You know, so he's a spirit of adoption. Who is he adopting? You know what it means to be adopted? That means you are not. He take you and place you as though you are. Amen. So the great spirit of Christ is poured out into the whole world, searching for a dwelling place. See, the whole eyes of the Lord. See, the spirit of God is hovering over the waters. Those waters are the souls everywhere, looking, searching for whose heart is ready. When you open the heart, it comes in. Hallelujah. And then it takes you on the journey. Passover. Amen. Blood comes into your soul and you're washed. A preparation. Hallelujah. The next experience, we call it Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes into your spirit as first touchdown. Amen. So your spirit man is inhabited by the glory of God. Amen. And somebody says it's a down payment. It's a first payment. It's a first occupation. Amen. So that the purchased possession might be possessed. Who is the purchased possession? It's your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you have, so when someone is baptized, the experience of baptism, which is the second point in the tabernacle experience, there are three. Baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit, and the great one, the baptism of your soul into Christ. Amen. So the baptism in water is for the body. Man does it. Put you. But it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. It's a covenant that the soul is on the way back into Eden. Amen. You are coming back to God. Hallelujah. That the fullness is declaring to all heaven that the fullness of God is about to come. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is for your spirit. The glory of God comes into your spirit and feels it. And it says the woman shall be overshadowed. Amen. So when the Spirit of God comes into your spirit, it is a down payment waiting for the big prize. And that big prize is the possession of the soul. So Christ comes into you to bring you into Christ. So the church has, we have stopped at a critical point. And right now, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and men of violence are pressing in. Like the brother was saying yesterday, if you don't pray, somebody else is going to pray. If I don't press in, somebody else is going to press in. Amen. The fullness of God is now coming into the soul. Because that spirit of adoption is now ready to adopt, to occupy and bring the fullness of the experience of Christ within the soul. Amen. I've said several things. You know, I just wanted to paint a global picture. Because I find that many believers live for nothing. So their life is worth nothing. If at the end of the day I've ended up being the best doctor in Nigeria, what a great waste. Do you understand? Because I've just addressed one part of my soul, just the canal. The vast dimension of what my soul is has been untouched, uncultured, unharvested. Like he said, darkness has still had its way. Amen. But God is looking for people. Bible said that the husbandman has great patience for the precious fruit of the earth. Who is earth? Earth. He said, oh, earth. Hear the voice. Earth is man. He's the soul. He took man from the ground and breathed into him. So prophetic is earth is man. And Bible says he has this glory in earthen vessel, that the excellency may be of God. God is taking us from the darkness of darkness and taking us to the greatest of light. Amen. That is the glory of all creation. Don't you understand? If not, what will God gain? Like somebody, Paul said, how think ye such a great thing that God should raise the dead? Amen. Ask them. The soul will rise. There shall be a rising of the soul. Amen. There shall be a resurrection of the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen now. There's a resurrection. You know, resurrection is not a date, it's an experience. It's a person. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am. Not I was. I am. When you come into am, you become am. Amen. We're not talking of future. We shall be sons of God. That language is in the past. It's in now. My character must be now. My emotions must be now. My desire must be now. My appetite must change and become like the cherubims. Amen. I'm excited to be alive today, man. You know, those days we used to say, you know, when they are running, have you seen the Canadian people? If you like Canadian people, isn't it? The best they're keeping for the last leg. When everybody run, when the other ones, they give that man, he touches the button, he covers the ground. We are candidates for that last leg. Amen. To run and recover all. Hallelujah. You know, so a son of God is a man that can respond to God. It's the fullness of this man. Amen. God is raising sons. A son of God cannot be a weakling in his mind, in his soul. Ruled by cancer, ruled by this, ruled by depression, ruled by anger, bitterness, lust, pride, this. That cannot be a son of God. Amen. So he that has no rule over his own spirit is what? Like a city broken down with her walls. If the devil can walk in and out, I'm still good, I'm still practicing. Amen. The Bible says we are not sufficient unto ourselves, that our sufficiency is of God. Amen. So God works in us both to will. So it's not what you're able to do, it's what Christ is in you. So the question is, do you have the reality of Christ within your soul, within your mind? Like the brother was saying, if we are beholding a different image, then we'll be transported into that image. But if you are beholding an image of a revelation of Christ, Paul said, he revealed his son in me. Amen. Brethren, the activity is in you. Christ in me. The hope of glory. You know, so the whole burden of what I'm sharing is that there is a rest that God is taking his people to. Yeah, experience is not just miracles. It's good. Praise God for that. Not just outreach. Praise God for that. You must. We're people. We're missions. We're missionaries. Amen. But that's not the ultimate. What is the ultimate? That I might be the dwelling place of God in all generations. Amen. Amen. That is the overarching vision. And if you see it and you speak to it, someone says, I'm willing to spend and be spent. Say, God, I'm going to be spent for this vision. I want to be part of Zion. I want to be part of that. I want to come into this feast. I want Christ to take over my whole mind. You know, he told Abraham, you must come out from your country. You must come out from your tribe. You must come out from a nation, a family. You know, Christ is breaking down the walls of nationalities, familiar spirits, tribal spirits, breaking them down. So these are barriers. And at the end of the day, there will not be any more barrier. You know, one of the things you find in the tabernacle of David, there's another one called Tabernacle of David. There were no barriers. You only had the tent and the glory. I say, this is the tabernacle of David. Amos 9, 11, quoted in Acts 15. Say, this is the tabernacle of David that has fallen down. Say, I have raised it up. We have come into a reality that this God, like, you know, we are reading in Isaiah, this God is not historical, an idea in the head. It is an experience. Hallelujah. The tabernacle of David. In those days, they will preach to only Jews. But Paul said, no, that this is a different experience. Every man. Hallelujah. So God is breaking down. And God is breaking down barriers of nationalities, of family, of tribe. And there are barriers that, you know, these are things that keep you and keep us. So may the Lord find us a worthy people that he will take through those barriers. Amen. So we're neither Jew or Gentile. This is not a Nigerian fellowship or Canadian fellowship. It is the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Psalm 16, somebody put it there, it says, the lions are falling unto me in goodly places. Say, great is my heritage in God. Amen. Say, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. Or suffer thy holy one to see corruption. You know, in the Psalms it says, thou hast taken me from the lowest hell. Do you know there is a lowest hell? Do you also know that there is a lowest heaven? But there is a highest heaven. He says, God dwells in the heaven of heavens. Say, the earth he has given to man, but God dwells in the heavens of heaven. The Bible says that he dwells in that lofty and highest place. With what? With him that is of a contract and a broken spirit. Amen. So God is taking you from the miry clay. What is he doing? Taking you to the heights of Zion. So we are going to Zion, brethren. Do you want to be in that train, Zion train? A people that have a lifetime walk to go to Zion, the city of the living God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we thank God for storytelling. I trust we will have time when we can go into the word. Because so this man, he has only read one scripture since he came here. You know, so we'll have time to read more scriptures. You know, and to challenge our present experience, you know, and then to go into the scriptures and see, you know, like it's well set out, you know, the pattern, you know, and the fundamentals. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It has been a blessing sharing with you. Amen. I don't know, maybe down the road there might be, I don't know if anybody has questions, maybe we can look at that later. I don't know how you do it here, you know, but every ministry must be interrogated. Amen. Every word must be judged. Every prophecy must be judged. Every preaching must be judged according to the standard of the word of God. If it's not there, throw it out. If I have said anything that you can't find in scripture, just throw it out of your list. It's of no use. Amen. But if it is there, that means you have entered. So you have to search, you have to know the scriptures. Somebody said the Berean Christians were noble. They went and searched. So we must search it. So every dream, vision, prophecy must be interrogated. Because by the word of two or three witnesses, it will be established. So if there's any questioning, you know, I'm open to that and to learn. No, we are still learning. You know, praise God. Amen. Thank you.